Hello, 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 and welcome to the Velvet Studio, Ottawa's queer media. Am I kicking at you from the capital? You keep looking at me whenever I say that. I am quite fond of that. Now, apparently, this is a wicked, wicked wonder, and it seems appropriate that we're bringing it to you from the capital here, home to the country's largest concentration of extramarital affairs.
All you cheaters out there.
Actually, Mr. Leather Ottawa, Mike.
Yeah, 2012, yeah.
He brought up a really good point online the other day that he's a member. Because it turns out a lot of the people on that site are actually gay or lesbian, and they're totally fine with cheating spouses from straight couples. And so apparently it's just a really good place to find discreet sex.
Tell us about this website, Luke, that we're talking
Ashley
about.
Ashley Madison. I had never cured. Well, I'm a raging homosexual, and it's like I had no idea that this existed. But apparently, their tagline is "Life is short, have an affair." So I'm not sure how much my partner would agree to that. Although we are in an open relationship, so it's more like
you
life
are?
Is short.
Well,
carry
by necessity,
on as usual.
He's in another time zone.
I know, but I didn't know that you guys were
He's
open.
Actually several time zones
yes.
over.
Yes.
I mean, the difference is that we're in an open relationship whilst he's out of the country for
yes.
3 months.
Yes.
I think once we're back in each other's space, then I think it'll be very different.
Yes.
Yeah. So you seemed aghast at that, Shane.
Well, I don't know. I mean, Luke.
You clearly don't know about our Mr. Belt Buckle here.
Well, to me, well, Luke is a good friend of mine, and I don't know.
Thank
I
you
always.
Very much.
I don't know why that's funny, but I don't know. You always strike me as someone not conservative, but you know, a little bit.
Well, it's
you
interesting.
Know, not as deviant.
Because I have a dodgy Achilles heel, despite my politics, I always lean slightly to the right.
Oh, my
so
God.
It's
that's exactly it. Yeah. Well, you know what? It's probably his British accent and his British ways.
It was actually a bad pun. One of his legs is shorter than the other.
Oh.
Yeah. When he's drunk.
Is it actually?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
And when he's drunk and trying to get home, he has a tendency to veer to the right. I'm
wow.
not joking.
Oh, wow. Okay, then.
Me and provincial governments have things in common.
Yeah.
We knew.
Yeah. Walking him home is a process of grabbing his arm and pulling him back to the left.
Well, God bless you, Sebastian. Yeah. I'm glad you're around.
Yeah.
I personally very much appreciate being saved by Sebastian from oncoming traffic, so that's always good.
I've done that.
Right, it's a bus. Oh, yeah, it's a bus. So, were neither of you familiar with Ashley Madison prior to this?
No, not till this morning when you told me about it. I was shocked to hear the statistics. Can you tell us what they were
existed.
Again?
There's 35 million accounts have been hacked. I think it's the entirety of their database. And there are 185,000 accounts in Ottawa, which is a population of 800,000.
So and now these are people who are not like in open relationships necessarily. Like this is people who are actively cheating on spouses who do not know
not
what is going on.
I'm also skeptical. How many of those accounts are double accounts? One
That's
person
it.
With more than one account. How many of them are people who used to be on there, moved away, never deactivated? There's going to be, let's say, about 5% of it. Let's say is garbage accounts.
But it's,
that's still
but
that reduces
that's still
it.
A
it's still
huge
a lot.
Number.
Yeah,
and but then let's say another 5% on top of that is gay people looking for a quick one.
Well, I never heard of this, so I'm a bit hesitant about how many homos are actually on Ashley Madison. If you're a homo on Ashley Madison, send us a tweet. At
well, you also don't
one.
Really strike me as the kind of guy that a straight married man would want to fool around with. Like, you don't have that, like, Mike, you could see
yes.
a married man
yes.
being like, if I'm going to fool around with someone, it's going to be Mike.
Yeah.
Whereas you don't really...
What are you trying to say?
You don't seem
what
like...
What are you trying to say, Sebastian?
The bro
exactly
dude fantasy of cheating with another guy. I don't
are
know.
Are you saying I'm not bro-y enough? Am I not dude-y enough? Is that what
yes.
yes. Yeah, that's exactly what he's saying.
I accept this. I accept that. As
basically, like, my understanding, because I've met quite a few straight guys who are willing to fool around with other guys. They either like them really bro-y, or they like them really tiny and delicate. They don't like gender fluidity. They like them to be effeminate or masculine, and I haven't really met that many in-betweens.
Jake is incredibly bro-y,
Is he?
He can be. You see him superficially, in sweatpants and a hat.
Superficially, yeah. When you first meet him, he does come across as more tiny and delicate.
Well, is he listening to this right now? Does he know we're talking about him? Okay.
Eventually, yeah.
Well, I love Jake. Can I just say something about Jake really quickly? Luke's lovely partner. I took a Facebook test, you know, the soulmate quiz.
Because these are highly reliable.
They're very highly reliable sources. I took it 3 times, and Jake was always calculated to be my soulmate 3 times in a row.
So when it gets back, he's leaving me to Shay.
I wonder what it is that they actually look like.
It's also really interesting, though, because... You know, we like to come over to Luke's apartment often for game nights because, you know, we're so cool that way.
Hey, games are cool, okay?
Games are cool.
Hashtag games are cool.
So, yeah, Miss Leather Ottawa here loves to go and play board games. But anyways, I found that our technique was very similar. Mm-hmm. And often our answers
were
the same.
You're talking about the board games.
We're talking about the board games. Yeah. So I think that has a lot to do with it. I don't know. We really thought alike. We're totally off topic. What are we talking about today, Luke?
So the reason why this is relevant in a very, very, very roundabout way is, you know, so once a month I was pointing at the book. Okay. Once a month, we do a topic based more so around sexuality and sex than other weeks.
Well, it is Wicked Wonders.
Unfortunately, Wanda herself is having medical care and is not able to attend this particular show, but sends her love and regards.
It's a busy time of year for her as well.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
That and her back hurts. I mean, there is, you know.
Yeah, there is that.
So the point being that Wanda was like, if somebody has a kink, so that could, not like a knot in their back, like an actual sexual fantasy.
Or in their hair.
I have a knot in my hair. But the...
He has a lovely haircut, actually, that he got yesterday.
He got it yesterday.
He looks so beautiful, and his beard looks groomed, too. I don't know.
I did fix my beard a bit, yeah.
He spent like an hour yesterday being like, did you see my new haircut?
I actually went to the barber on demand at Stroked Ego. Yeah, there's an app, and he will come to you.
No.
He is literally a barber upon demand.
Oh. A mobile barber.
Well, or a cell phone barber.
Well,
I mean, if you have the app, it doesn't really
barbers
matter.
Barbers are mobile, otherwise they can't get around and do the back.
That was a terrible ableist
really
joke.
Funny, I'm sorry.
I love you.
That was even better than my cell phone reference, but there we go.
Yeah.
Where was I going with this?
Yes,
point being,
yes.
So,
we're
know.
We're talking about the topic of today's show.
Yes.
Which we still have not gotten to, and we are at 11 minutes after.
So we're talking about somebody you love has a kink.
Yes.
How do you bring it up? Mm-hmm. How do you mention it? Whilst we gather our wits and stop giggling about
Jake
barbers on demand
and
various other things, our first song is, and I apologize to our soulmates. So as Sebastian mentioned earlier, he was going to do the soulmate quiz, and it turns out myself and Sebastian are soulmates. Well, that's proven it, empirical fact right there.
Oh, I feel a little left out.
Nope,
here.
Second time it was Alex.
Oh, okay.
Well, you didn't.
So, anyways, we're gonna play Nick Jonas, at least a little bit of this. Nick Jonas's Chains. I'm not a huge fan of Nick Jonas, but apparently he's kind of grown up a bit.
Yep.
And this song Change is very BDSM-y, very undertones.
I like this video.
And it was the reason why I'm playing it is because he performed in the Heaven Bar in Soho in London, big famous gay bar, for the GAY event. And a bunch of drag queens chained him to the stage whilst he sang this song. So
awesome. Did he do that willingly? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Although it kind of been slightly more fun if he was just actually chained.
Well, I don't know if it was just something they did impromptu and he just went along with it or if it was planned.
Maybe. It's hard to tell. Anyway, we're going to play a bit of this and we'll be back in a few minutes on the Velvet Studio.
Beautiful video. But I wouldn't change. No, I wouldn't change. This love, you got me in chains. You got me in chains for your love, but I wouldn't change. No, I wouldn't change this love.
with the chains, but the chains only bring me. Chains only bring me alone in the night till she knocks on my door. Oh, no. Wasted again, but I can't say no. No. Baby, tell me why you do me wrong? Baby, tell me why you do me wrong? Gave you my heart, but you took my the chains, but the chains only bring me. Trying to break the chains, but the chains only bring me. The chains, but the chains only bring me.
Hello and welcome back to the Velvet Studio. Yes, well, yours isn't.
Okay, there you
okay,
go.
Okay, fine. Okay, apparently he's upset I didn't turn his mic on. Well, whatever.
You were busy fooling around with your phone, thing ends, and you just like slap your hand down on the soundboard.
I did not
it
slap
all
my hand down on the soundboard. You make it sound way more dramatic.
So today's topic, which we still haven't gotten to.
No, it's how do you,
bless you
open up the conversation about having a kink? And I told Jake about this earlier, and he, for example, I'm well aware that he, and he might hate me for this, but he seems quite keen on the idea of tying me down.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay. Okay, we'll see where
this
that goes.
This is like a whole new discovery about you, Luke. I'm so excited.
Are you not comfortable with this?
Well, no, I am. He's fun.
Okay.
But like, and they go, well, maybe I have kinks. Because he goes, well, I don't think you do. And I'm like, that's not the point.
Well, the other thing is, how are we defining kinky? I think that's a major issue.
Shade,
right there.
How are we defining kinky?
Honestly, I would begin the conversation with what turns you on. It's a bit easier than saying, what's your kink? Because a lot of people are like, what do you mean by kink? Because, you know, we grew up in a society where, you know, there's a lot of shame associated with sex and being a sexual being, you know. So asking someone, like your partner, what turns you on is a better introduction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've recently finished actually multiple books. I've actually been getting a lot of reading done lately. And broadly speaking, anthropologists and social sciences scientists, when they look at the world's cultures, they find that sex and violence run counter to each other. So the more okay a culture is with sex, the less okay it is with violence and vice versa.
Exactly.
So one of the examples that they brought up was Japan, where like sexuality is just out on the table, and they are incredibly intolerant of violence.
That's excellent.
Yeah. But then they run the opposite of here, where like here, at least on the cultural level, well, let's look at the States because they're more of an extreme example. Violence is considered a little bit more okay there. So like you can have like people's heads exploding and it's just, you know, it's PG-13 now.
Oh, my God. And then it's it's so commonplace in the news, like people dying.
And then you see a nipple murdered. And then it's all of a sudden like rated R. And in the States, when violence is very common. They're a little bit more accepting of violence in the media. And when people get involved in sex, they tend to go all out. That sort of like eyes wide shut, big, you know, orgy sort of thing. If someone's going to do anything, they kind of go to extremes, which is possibly, it's just, you know, the genie being let out of the bottle kind of an effect. But I think something that discussions around kink kind of suffer from is the idea of gradients. That, you know, some people are like, well, you know, I have a few kinks, and then people just immediately, you know, they
assume,
they assume that they get tied down, and then they
get got a gimp mask on and they're suspended from the ceiling,
blood play, getting like their skin sewn and all that sort of thing, and the idea of just doing a little bit, and like, you know, one person's kinky is another person's Tuesday, and it's really hard to because I think your approach is better, not talk about kinks, but just talk about desires, like, this is the thing that I want to do, are you into that, and not frame it up as being a kink, but just sort of frame it as being, this is not a thing we've done before.
Yeah.
And just leave it at that. Everything that you've not done before, in a way, can be kinky. Like, from that definition, on your very first date, when you haven't even seen the other person naked yet, like, a hand job would be kinky. But, you know, I'm willing to stand by that. That I think I don't think that makes a weird loophole in my definition. I'm willing to stand by that.
You're right. Yeah. I agree. And, you know, a lot of our, you know, I was saying, you know, the public at large, a lot of their source of information about kink and BDSM is like
bad romance novels.
Well, that's it. Sensationalized, really bad films, really bad novels.
Are you trying to tell me that Twilight was not a how-to guide? Sorry, Fifty Shades of Grey.
Same writer, by the way. Right? Isn't it the same? No, it's the same
fanfic.
Makers.
It's fanfic.
Yeah, okay, well.
With
know.
Names changed.
Okay.
And no more vampires.
Okay, well, whatever. anyways, we get a lot of our source of information from these sensationalized novels, which their goal is not to educate people. Their goal is to, like, make money.
Yeah.
So.
You know, if Twilight began with a really awkward conversation around kink, I think it'd be far more realistic.
Well, for sure.
Actually, I think the most realistic and healthy depiction of kink in American media, weirdly enough, is Family Guy.
I was just going to say Family Guy. Lois and Peter. Oh, my God.
Because it's always consensual. It's always gentle. It's always like it's...
And it's very matter of fact. Like, yeah, we're doing this. Like, there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
We tend to think, like, presenting, like, your kinky side is, like, this deep, dark secret. And a lot of, like, the material that I read for this show kind of presented in a way where it's like you're coming out of the closet. Like, you're coming out as being kinky. And they're like, this is how you would approach someone. Tell them, you know, I have this secret that I have to tell you. And it's just like, no, it's not.
It's been brooding in the back of my mind.
It's been brooding in your shoes.
I really want you to tickle me with a feather duster. Oh.
Exactly. It's just so taboo still.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk more about the idea of coming out and the taboo element in a few minutes. But before we do that, we're going to talk about... we have to play some CanCon because we are a Canadian station.
Absolutely.
And this is a Canadian-Ukrainian duo that's very LGBT-friendly. I think they may even be identified. Umagma is their name.
Uh-huh, I'm willing to accept that.
You're willing to accept this?
I like that you did the long M.
Because
well, that was
two
more
M's.
It's like trying to, yeah. Well, there's two of them.
It's U-M-M-A-G-M-A, if
some languages, if you have two of the same letter next to each other, it's meaningful.
Oh.
Yeah. So, like, in English, you just say gamma or mama, whereas, like, anyway, sorry, go on.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's looking at me funny.
Anyway, this is their song, Human Factor. We'll be back in just a few minutes on the Velvet Studio. And,
It's so fun.
I'm cool.
Hello and welcome back to the Velvet Studio, Ottawa's Queen Media. My name is Luke Smith.
I'm Shade Nix. Sorry.
I'm Sebastian.
Were you apologizing for your name? Is that
no,
what that was?
No, I offered Sebastian to wear the headphones because I've been wearing them and he said, no, he's good. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to use it either because, you know, it just ruins my hair. And I don't know why it was funny. You had to be there in the moment.
Anyway, so we're talking about
laughter.
Yeah. Oh, mine's not nervous.
So how do you bring up whether or not your partner has a kink? Or whether or not you have a kink and you kind of want to, you know, if there are 180,000 people on Ashley Madison, some of you listening have some things that you should probably talk about.
Mm. Absolutely.
And I'm thinking, you know what, maybe we can help. Yes. Maybe we can help. Are you sitting comfortably, ladies and gentlemen, and variations thereof?
I think the...
Because we're going to help the sex lives of the Canadian people.
I think the Ashley Madison thing is more about open relationships, which is something that is a little bit more discussed in the queer community than in the straight world. The idea of maybe monogamy is not for everyone. It does. Just because you're non-monogamous doesn't mean you're not dedicated. It doesn't mean you don't want to spend your lives together. And just because you want to be with somebody else physically doesn't necessarily reflect anything emotionally. And I think that's really what that comes down. That's a completely different conversation than this. Although I'm willing to bet some of the probably is my husband and or wife will not ex with me, and therefore I shall do this with someone else.
Right.
Or they may not have asked their husband and or wife.
Mm.
Or they're so afraid to bring it up because they've never discussed it before. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. If that encapsulates you,
yeah.
Well, we have a show for you 26 minutes in. So, so how do you bring up this conversation with your husband and or wife?
Everyone's staring at me all of a sudden.
Well, I'm looking at Shane.
Well, for me, it's about, because people are, like, they are ashamed of their kinks, you know, they just are. And I, like I said, I really would start the conversation is in terms of what turns you on and what doesn't, because that's important too. What is, like, absolutely off limits to you? Because that'll help.
Yeah.
And then slowly introducing, well, you know.
Something that I've discussed with people in the past that tends to work out well is, I don't know what to call it except for maybe bad fantasies. Things that that do turn you on, but when you step back, you're like, that's actually a terrible idea and I'm never going to do it. And this is something that doesn't come up very often when we talk about kinks and fetishism and stuff like that. There can be, just because the idea is appealing doesn't mean it's an appealing idea. Right. There are certain things that are best left in fantasy. And there are some, I've met quite a few people who've tried things who in the end they're like, nope, I wish I had just sat at home and thought about it.
I've seen a lot of those scenarios.
Can you
too.
Give an example?
One of my friends said that getting tripled, getting DP'd while giving head to someone, it sounded like a great idea, but in the moment he was like, this is just, this is too many.
Literally.
This is not really what I wanted, and it was better on paper.
That's one of those leave it to the porn stars kind of ideas.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And so I mention this because I think that's sort of a good spot to start the discussion of kinks is, you know, what seems appealing, even though it's probably not a good idea? Like, just list everything that seems appealing with the assumption that it's a bad idea. Mm. And then later on, revisit it with, like, remember that thing that you said? I kind of actually was into that. Like, do you want to give that a whirl one day? Baby steps style.
I was just going to say, just start with baby steps. You don't have to jump into that, you know, the extreme fantasy.
So, like, for being tied down, for example, you don't need to go, oh, I can't remember the name of it, the Japanese
shibari?
Rope art? Yeah, shibari. You don't have to go full shibari the first time. You could... One of my favorites is in... what was that movie called? And there was a power outage, and Sookie and Lee was in it,
ooh,
and Gentleman Reg, and it was... Short Bus. Okay.
Okay.
So, there's a scene in Short Bus where a guy wants to get tied down, and he's with a pro... And she's like, I'm not in the mood. I don't feel like doing it. I didn't bring my stuff with me. So this is what we're going to do. You're going to turn around and hold on to the headboard. And the moment you let go, I leave. And That was sort of a good starting point.
It is. You can just start with just like, you know, just taking a tie and just tying your hands.
Although you have to be careful, you know, with blood circulation and so on and so forth.
Yeah. I've heard of people using like party streamers, like paper streamers that tear away, and it's just more the symbol.
It's more the aesthetic than anything.
Yeah, and it's...
Yeah. That's very safe indeed.
It's incredibly safe. Yeah. There's a baby step version for everything. Yeah. Absolutely everything. I had a friend when I was living in Toronto who was into sounding. And for those of you who don't know what that is, that's inserting...
Injecting something.
Inserting something, typically steel rods that are specially made for this task so that they're less likely to hurt you, into the urethra. And
of the male penis.
Yeah. Well, I'm pretty sure women could do it. I don't know what they'd get out of
it.
But he had a kit of rods of different gauges, and one of them was like, when you grease this up and stick it in, you can't even feel it. It is step one, getting used to the concept of something being in there, even though there's basically nothing there. And then you
move your way up.
Move your way up. Yeah. There's baby steps versions of everything. Yeah. And it's just a matter of reading it up, talking to people who've done it before, sometimes anonymously online. That's one of the great things about the internet. You can do
anonymous
stuff.
Or you could go to Wicked Wanda's and speak to a salesperson there who's like very well-versed. And
hopefully well-versed.
Yeah, hopefully. You're right. Yeah.
I always thought sounding had to do with instruments. But
no.
That's...
Yeah, I know. It does have that. Yeah.
No.
I stand corrected.
Mm-hmm.
So it may seem.
Okay.
So we have discovered that there are baby steps. We have talked about, you know, how do you navigate having your desires.
Right.
Well, that's just one way. Like, how would you suggest opening the floor on the discussion?
Well, like I said, even with my partner now, that's how, actually, I think it was even on our first date where we're like, well, what turns you on? Like, are you more of the lead or are you more of the follower? Like, that's something very basic. I feel like in every relationship, there's always someone who's kind of in the lead, even if you're completely equals.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very interesting how... I'm very fortunate that Christopher is like, he is very, he's so open-minded that nothing phases him. So he kind of gave me, he made me feel comfortable enough that I could trust sharing certain things. Cause I'm like, you know what, if I'm going to get into a relationship with this man, you know, I want to know like what, you know, where it's going to go if it's, cause you need to be sexually compatible at the end of the day. And, we did start, because we were both kind of tiptoeing around it, because we still didn't know each other, and we wanted to be very respectful, but it was amazing how open we both were, and we started with that statement, which was, what are you into?
Yeah.
Like, what are you into? What turns you on? What doesn't turn you on? And it's incredible, like, even just, like, little things.
Well, for me and Jake, we went on a trip to go and visit Wanda at her store.
Yes.
And, you know, there's plenty of sex stores in every town, city, village, whatever. Maybe not villages. You need to go outside the village. You know, and there's plenty of places you can go and wander around and be like, that looks a bit extreme when you see the giant paddles with studs on it.
Right.
And then you're like, I hate being tickled. So, you know, when you pass the feather dusters, you're like, I will probably smack you in the face with my fist if you tickle me. So let's not do that.
Ooh, and then, you don't like to be tickled, eh?
No, and I will. Ah. No, just, this is not a, this is a no.
Okay, yeah, it's like a hard no.
Yeah. Whereas like, because they have like that tape which just sticks to itself.
Yes.
And I was like, that could be fun. There's a lot of stuff you can do with that.
The vinyl tape stuff?
Yeah, the vinyl tape for bondage tape. Yeah, bondage tape.
So, you know, that's... Just have a wander around.
Infinitely reusable if you treat it right.
Yeah.
You know what? That is a great idea to start off inside a sex store, because then it's like those little inhibitions, you know, a lot of them have to be lifted, because you are literally faced with... with objects.
12-inch dildos.
Yes, exactly.
And, you know, and then sniffing all the little candles with, like, the wax stuff. And it's quite an interactive experience.
It's very sensorial.
Yeah. Some of the more extreme things as well, like, it can start conversations that don't lead to acts, but are still... It can sort of deflate the tension to a certain degree. So, like, the giant rubber fists...
Yeah.
For example, or the...
Yeah, I never know if those are just, like, gag things or...
No, I think people do use them.
I know. I'm just saying.
But I've had, like, I've been in toy stores with friends before, and we come across that sort of thing, and it's something that comes up a lot. And I've heard a lot of people say this, that at first the thought kind of grosses them out, but when you think about how much time and effort it takes to be able to use that thing,
yeah,
you kind of have to give them respect. Like, there's somebody dedicated to their craft, and you're kind of like, you know, props to you.
Yeah.
It's very impressive.
Yeah, you have to train, like literally train, to take something like that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You look...
Yeah.
Slightly mortified. Yes. Glad this is radio. you know, and there's definitely things that you can introduce into relationships. So if you're in a married relationship and maybe you're watching television or a rom-com or something, and something happens, you know, it's all about raising the topic in the least obtrusive way possible. Mm-hmm. You know, unless that's your style. Like, let's say me and Sebastian was dating, and I said, Sebastian, I'd like to suspend you from the ceiling with your skin to giant hooks on Tuesday.
What are you up to Tuesday?
You know, washing my hair.
That's a bit of a jumping in the deep end. Yeah. And, you know, that's generally not how people do it. So, yeah, no, small steps.
I think something to mention is also being on the other side of that. When somebody says something to you, I think one of the reasons why a lot of people are very secretive or ashamed or afraid, or why they go on these like Ashley Madison websites, is they're afraid of rejection from their partner. And I think it's definitely worth mentioning, like, how do you present to your partner clear signs that you're not going to do that? That if they say they want to try something that you're not into, that doesn't mean, oh my God, you're disgusting, the relationship is over, I don't want you to touch me anymore. Like, how do you make it clear to them?
You know what? The sooner the better. Because there are a lot of people who have been married, let's say, for 5 or 6 years, and they've never talked about those things. And then they're like, they don't want to lose the marriage, and they don't want to lose the trust in the other person, and they're so invested. And they're like, well, if I bring this up now... Mm-hmm. You know, what's going to become of us? So really, the sooner the better that you have these discussions, the better. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But when it happens...
Yes.
How do you make sure that they... Like, in order to make it happen, first, before them, before you have any... Like, you and your mm-hmm. partner, you were very quick moving.
Yes, we were.
But generally speaking, towards the beginning of a relationship, how would you project to somebody that you're open-minded, even if... Like, you're open-minded to at least entertain notions and that you would be respectful of anything, even if you turn it down.
You know what? You could even discuss, just say, like, you know, I've always had this fantasy, and keep it as just a fantasy. And
without not, saying what?
Without saying, like, you know, I want to act on this fantasy, but be like, mm-hmm. you know, I've had this fantasy, you know, like, that started when I was whatever age, and, you know, I was really turned on by that, you know, I don't know, like, what do you think? You know, like, something like that, and... I don't know, like, really, you have to present it in a way where it's not like you're ashamed of it. Like, oh, I have to tell you something. Mm-hmm. Like, I've had this fantasy and it's kind of weird.
You said, what do you think? What I would have done in that scenario is, you know, I have a fantasy of blah-de-blah.
Yeah.
You know, do you have anything?
Bloody bras?
No, blah-de-blah.
Oh.
No bloody bras. I am not, like, secretly turned on.
I think that's Luke's version of blah-blah-blah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, mine's might be slightly more sing-songy.
Yeah, yours is.
Yeah. It's a British... It's a Welsh thing, I think.
I think it's a Welsh thing. Yeah, or just a Luke thing. Who knows?
It could just be me thing.
Yeah.
Where it's were we? Okay that you're into bloody bras. I don't
I
judge
I am not
you.
Into bloody bras. As in bras or bloody bras or bras with blood on them.
Bloody bros. How about bloody bros?
Mm. Are you into blood play?
No. I mean, back in the day, there used to be the hanky code, and that was so much easier.
So much easier.
Because then you could tell. It's like having like their Facebook profile on their back pocket.
Exactly. You know, on the exactly left side and the right side means something different.
I'm actually yet to go on any of the kink sites, but like, do they have a thing where like a checklist where you check off everything you're
Absolutely.
Into?
Absolutely. Like what you're into, and then there's varying degrees.
Do they have it where that you can only see the other person's if you match? Because that would make sense to
me.
I don't know. Because, like, if someone lists that they're into blood play and that, like, freaks you out a little bit, like, if you can only see...
Sorry.
if they did, if they also indicated it, that would be, I don't know, I think I might be doing their job for them.
I don't know if FetLife has that. I know they have a checklist, but what's really great about FetLife as well is, like, you can say if you're partially, like, if you're just sort of into it or you're everything to do with it, mm-hmm. like, it has varying degrees. But, yeah, I don't know if it matches you up with a profile that has...
No, I'm not talking about matching.
No.
I'm talking, like, you can only see the other person's things.
Like, filter themselves by.
Yeah, no, yeah. I don't think so in that case. Yeah. But, yeah.
I want to cut to a song, and you don't like that I do this, but this is Parson James. He is a priest who is bisexual and in New York, and this is his new song that was released a couple of days ago called Sinner Like You. I think it's a very good song. And then when we get back, we're going to be talking, kind of wrapping up the topic about how you raise this issue. Apparently... FetLife does not have a filtering option, so that won't work. But we'll think of other options and help all you Ashley Madison destitutes because the website's down there, so they're destitute for that.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah,
that's what I meant. Okay. Anyway, we're back in a few minutes.
Gotta face these holy fools. It felt cold when they heard the news. Guess I better give my son the shoes. What's the use? We all saw what they done to you. You fell stairs when they heard the truth. Say, fell stairs when they heard the truth. Oh, mama, we're not alone. Don't know what they do at home. But everybody got a bag of bones. Say, oh, we all got a bag of bones. Oh, all to shake it. Walls are caving. Wanna tell another lie? So will you look me in the eye? Or am I out of sight and out of mind? Say, no, no, I'm not ashamed. I got no one to blame. So I go naming names if all of us are just the same. All to shaking, shaking. Walls are caving, caving. Ooh, ooh, oh, hold your breath. Somebody say a prayer for me, 'cause Papa didn't preach, and if he did, I'd still be wrong, and I've been down on both my knees. Why don't you wanna see? Why don't you wanna see? I'm a sinner like you. A sinner like you. I'm just a sinner like you. Should I stay? Are they ever gonna change? Should we make our amends just to hear them say amen? If I run away, Mama, would you be afraid? No, when the storms start to fly.
Hello and welcome back to the Velvet Studio, Ottawa's Queer Media. And we are talking about how do you navigate if somebody that you love or yourself has a kink.
Well, I think honestly people have such a hard time because they have a lot of guilt and a lot of shame associated with their sexual desires. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said before, we grew up in a society where like shame is really associated with sex. Like you should not, if you are a sexual being, you shouldn't be, or, you know, only vanilla sex is acceptable if you're married, you know? So being, having a little bit of, like different, like cravings, I should say, or, you know, different flavors of kink or sex is just so shameful that
it's also considered shameful to feel unfulfilled, even though you're dating. That feels like you're greedy or, I don't know, like you're it says something negative about your partner.
Yeah, exactly. And some people think, you know, a lot of literature that I've read is like people assuming that if someone's really kinky or really into like some extreme fetishes, they must have been abused or they must have been, you know, like it's just, it always starts from a negative place rather than, no, I'm a healthy, happy human being and I have these sexual desires and there's nothing wrong with that.
Something that's actually been used as a very strong counterpoint to that is the fact that the leather fetish is almost exclusively North American. It's very rare outside of North America. You can get some of it in Germany.
For sure.
But broadly speaking, it's a North American thing.
Okay.
Whereas rubber and vinyl is predominantly a UK thing.
Yeah, very.
Mostly England, but it has spilled out into the rest of the UK. But it's like rubber and vinyl is very British. And people have been trying to figure out exactly what it is that caused that. Because if they can figure out why leather is not very big in the UK and why rubber and vinyl is not very big in North America, then they might be able to figure out where does that fetishes come from in the first place. Mm. And something that comes up again and again is actually positive association. That's one of the things that shows up in the literature quite a bit, that Europe just uses more rubber. So, and I'm like, from a very serious point of view, I mean this. Okay. So like the classic raincoat in England is the Macintosh.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's actually a layer of cloth, a layer of rubber, and then a layer of cloth again. Hmm. When they get wet, they smell like rubber. And in England, it's basically like there's months at a time where it's always raining, but never raining hard.
Okay.
So like if you watch EastEnders, as I never have, and I also didn't drink tea and knit while I was doing it. But anyway, if one were to watch EastEnders,
Coronation Street.
Or Coronation Street.
My favorite.
If you look at the ground, you see puddles, and you see that there is rain. It's just not enough light to pick up the fact that it's raining, and no one has an umbrella.
Hmm.
Because in England, like, if you were to bring rain gear with you, like, you would just constantly be bogged down with crap. So a lot of people just go out in the rain and get wet, but it doesn't rain. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So
it's not torrential. Like, it's not pouring all the
time. So there's a lot of, like, galoshes and, like, overshoes.
Welly boots.
And they're not called welly boots. No, they're called Wellingtons.
Wellingtons.
Well, I've heard of people saying welly boots.
Were they American?
Yeah.
they were British children.
Anyway, so like, there's just a lot of rubber available, present in England, and there's all these theories about like, you know,
even
maybe
the Queen wears like her rubber boots, her hunters.
She does wear
wellies.
She has adorable galoshes. But anyway, that maybe the first time somebody had sex, it was raining out, and the smell of what rubber was in the air. And in the States, they use a lot of leather and everything because of the massive beef industry in the Southwest, and so leather is incredibly cheap there. And so having genuine moo cow leather car seats is actually not that expensive in the States.
It's not that uncommon.
It's not that uncommon. So maybe the first time somebody had sex there in the back seat of a car, and so now they have a positive association with it. And so it's not always this gross sort of deviant kind of whatever. Sometimes it does come down to positive association with positive memories. And I think like some of this stuff is leaking out of the literature bit by bit as very few people actually study this. Usually the Dutch, because the Dutch will study anything. It's amazing. one of my favorite studies that the Dutch did is 2 years ago, they put two people into an MRI machine and made them have sex.
Yeah, it was great.
Just to see if they could do it. And accidentally, they learned a lot.
Okay, but how do you, I mean, for a woman, it's kind of easier. But for the male, like, how did he get it up to, like, be able to do it in front of all these people?
I think they gave him, well, first of all, they got people who are comfortable having sex in public.
Okay, yeah, there you go.
Second, they got really skinny people because a MRI machine is not very large.
No.
And then finally, I think they probably gave him Viagra just to make sure that he could, because you have to take stills.
Yeah.
And it's
so they had to stay still in that one position.
Yes, and it's it's you tend to go jelly if you're just sitting there. So they anyway, anyway, point is, I don't know. This whole deviant concept is starting to weaken.
Good, and I find it's a very American thing too. Like the,
well, traditionally it was French.
Yeah.
to no, have but this I mean, approach. To have to,
yeah, oh, really? Okay, yeah. Because I find, like, I think here in Canada we're a little bit more open-minded about, you know, kink, whereas, you know, it's not so much like if you go to the southern U.S. states.
Now you're making me wish that I had gone on Google Scholar before coming in to see if anybody's actually studied this.
Look it up right now. Well, it's not 10 minutes.
No, we don't have. We're not going to Google random Dutch scholarly articles related to whatever. I mean, I think a lot of it has to boil down to empowerment, like people feeling empowered to, you know, instead of skulking around on nefarious sites, you know,
nefarious.
Take ownership. Take a bit of, you know, internal strength. You know, you are beautiful people of Ottawa. Ottawa, you are beautiful people. And, you know, you want to do something with a feather duster. It's not okay with me.
Wait, he's got this thing with the feather duster. Are you sure it doesn't turn you on? Because you've been talking about it a lot.
No. Okay. It was a nice, easy, PG go-to reference that I can make.
It is.
It's friendly for radio.
Yes.
Let's grab some feather dusters and close the door.
Yeah. Anyway, my point is, two of us, you know, take a bit of you know, it does take a lot of courage, but you will be pleasantly surprised at how people would react to that. You know, having the strength of character to kind of be like, you know what, I want you to tie me down, or I want you to tickle me with a feather duster, or you know, for my sexual gratification, I want the lights on tonight.
I think, actually, a lot of it comes down to external expectation as well.
Yeah, for sure. Because there's a lot of pressure.
I specifically mean that in the sense that, like, Ottawa is a very suburban city, which is really weird because to be a proper suburb, you have to be next to something. So Ottawa has this weird thing where it's a suburb of itself.
Yeah.
And it's hard to explain, but I've lived in many suburbs, unfortunately for me, and
same.
It definitely has a very suburban feel to it. Mm. But what's happening here, basically, is a whole bunch of individuals, 250,000 approximately, to be specific, feel that because they are suburban married people, that there's a way that they're supposed to act, and they're letting those expectations basically rule their lives. Whereas classically, actually, there has been a lot of studies done on army spouses in the 50s.
Hmm.
Not the 50s. We want to talk about the 40s, the Air Force Regiment during World War II. They would have key parties.
Oh, yes. I remember that.
Right?
Right up until, like, I remember the 70s were like...
They were still happening, yes.
They were still happening, those key parties.
And
can you explain what key
parties
are?
Oh, is that when you put keys in a bowl?
Yes.
And then you pick the key, and then whatever key you end up with, you have to have sex with that person.
Oh,
yes.
Like a swingers party or
yes.
something.
Yeah. It was. And it was, the goal was to bring the community together. And also,
doesn't bring you together, I don't know.
If one of the husbands dies in war, ooh, the other men who'd had sex with that wife take care of her. Until
wow.
she's back on her feet.
Aww.
And so, yeah, it's omnigamy is the name for that, where you have one man with multiple partners, but you also have women with multiple partners. So it's like if a man with multiple wives, but then one of your wives also has multiple husbands, that's omnigamy, and it's not common at all.
No.
then you get into omnigamous setups, which is basically sort of like these group who are willing to have sex with each other. Always paired off, though. I don't know if they had big roomfuls. I think they still had a little bit of the expectations. But anyway, point is, I think a lot of the stress and the shame and the feeling that you're deviant just comes down to allowing what you believe society wants affect you in the privacy of your own home.
Absolutely.
The state has no business
in the bedrooms of the people.
Yeah.
But this is not the state. This is just the masses, the plebs. Yeah.
The plebs have no business.
Because the court system and the police, they're like, I don't know, whatever. Did you ask permission? Is it okay? Fine, whatever. Have fun at it. Like, I don't care. It's people fearing their neighbors.
Yeah.
Is really what it comes down to.
Well, just fearing judgment. Yeah.
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 You know, speaking of swingers, there's even a swingers like club, as in nightclub, in Ottawa.
But it's actual swing dance.
No.
Well, there's also a swing dance.
There is a swing dance.
See, because you told me it was a swing club, and I was expecting, like jazz and, you know, like swing music.
Mm.
And it's a swingers club,
mm-hmm.
which is an entirely different conversation.
Yeah.
I was, needless to say, slightly surprised.
Although Ottawa is a swing mecca. In the sense that...
Apparently it's also a swingers mecca.
Yes.
It's both.
Wow. Do. Anyways, yeah. We hope we have been in some way helpful for all of you folks searching for alternatives to Ashley Madison. Try your wives or husbands. You'll
and
never know what might happen.
Ask each other. Like, talk
to
each other.
Or your neighbor's wife and husband while they watch. Go for it. Whatever.
Yeah, but, yeah. Anyways, thank you so much for listening. Please go visit our Facebook page, Velvet Studio. And velvetstudio.ca is the website. I'm
which
Shade,
is now online.
Which is now back online. We have other episodes from
the past.
From the past.
We have some from the future, but they're not working.
Yeah, they're not working.
So yes, we're playing out with Priory's Put 'Em Up, a interesting video about.
Oh my God, Luke!
Identity.
It's radio. Stop talking about videos.
Well, if you like the song, check it out.
Changing, so keep the hate from creeping in, 'cause the bed that you're in.